Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so happy. Life sucks. I'm so happy to be married. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Marriage sucks. In fact, I married the wrong person. I'm so happy I'm depressed. I'm finally making the kind of money I should have been making some time ago. I'm flat busted. Broke. Can't seem to get out of debt. What's the difference between chapter 7 and chapter 13? Life sucks. I'm so happy with my job. I'm just over the moon. My job sucks. I just love being so independent. I can't find a job, so I had to move back home. Life sucks. We just got married and I just can't wait to have kids. He wants a divorce. Life sucks. Oh, you know, we are on the go all the time. We always got something to do. I'm lonely. I'm always at home. Life sucks. I just got this big bonus at work, and I can't believe they are wanting to consider me for a promotion. I just got fired. Life sucks. OMG, I have some of the greatest friends. Nobody wants to talk to me. Life sucks. I received such a bliss in the church today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I go to the most boring church ever. Life sucks. That's how it goes in this everyday life. Real people, real life, real talk. This everyday life. On this episode, we will be discussing millennial finances and student loan debt. When we come back, I will introduce our guest right here on This Everyday Life. Real people, real life, real talk. This Everyday Life. I've been getting tired of listening to the same songs on the radio over and over again. So I took matters into my own hands and decided to do something about it. I downloaded the Tenaboy Radio app, and I've been in love ever since. Tenaboy Radio. I listen to it online, and if I'm out and about, I listen to it on my phone. Tenaboy Radio. If you're ready to experience a different sound in radio, download the app, Tenaboy Radio, or go to their website, www.tenaboyradio.com. Music the way I like it. Tenaboy Radio. Thank you for tuning in to This Everyday Life. On this episode, my guest and I will be discussing the stress associated with millennial finances and student loans. On today's show, we have millennials Jen and Maurice, who share insights on how finances and debt can affect married life. We also have family counselor Alicia Strayhorn, who will share tips on managing financial stress in your family. And also joining us on this show is business consultant Leonard Brecken. He is the managing partner at Charlotte Consultant Services. He will share some tips on managing student debt and help us take a look at business ownership. His analytical business articles, news interviews, and expertise has been referenced by over 1 million viewers. We start the show with Leonard Brecken. Lynn, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. Very good. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. We're so delighted to have you on the show. We also have family counselor Alicia Strayhorn. She's doing a lot of positive things with families and children. Alicia, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Aw, thank you so much for being on the show. Now, Alicia, tell us what you do with families and children.
Okay. I'm an MSP family counselor. We look at a multi-systemic point of view. We look at the individual, the family, the school, the community, but we also look at the peers. With all of those systems, we see where the breakdown is causing some negative behavior. And so my job is to come into the home and give some structure, some intervention, some skills to balance things out, to get things back to a healthy environment for the client and their family.
So you've seen the impact that this topic can have on families. And Lynn, tell us what you do with Charlotte Consultant Services.
I mainly work with small business owners and basically translate their business into numbers. So I actually create a financial model of the business and then forecast it so that the business owner can better plan. And we follow a five-step process that I've used for, 25 years that most every large S&P 500 company, for example, public company uses. And we're applying the same principles to smaller businesses. So they have a better opportunity to succeed, increase their profits, and ultimately increase the value of the firm.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Lynn. We also have a millennial couple that's joining us. Jen and Maurice, how are you doing?
Doing well.
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Well, good. We have actually talked about things that are stressing millennials. And Maurice, you had mentioned finances. Tell us a little more about what you meant.
That's a very, very important part of what causes a lot of stress, especially in relationships, marriages especially, as we already know that most marriages tend to fail a lot of times because of finances. And even when it comes to a broader sense, more than just relationships, and we're talking about millennials especially, and even to broaden that to anyone, especially in today's time in the economy that we're living in, it's becoming very, very difficult to be able to come up with money to do basic things like buying a car. So imagine now having to take money that you do not have and try to invest that into a house. It's very difficult, especially in what's going on today, and, of course, the increasing education system and such. So, yeah, it plays a major role in everything, especially in the grand scheme of things when it comes to trying to plan out your life, whether it be relationships or other.
Thank you, Jamie. That's very insightful. Now, Alicia, as a family counselor, does financial stress have an impact on the children that you serve?
Oh, absolutely. Because predominantly our community is a part of the low economic status. And so with that being said, I don't think I've ever had a family that did not have an issue with finances, that were not struggling in some way or another with that. I see that all the time. A lot of the stress comes with not being able to afford health care or clothes, shoes, food, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you would say that because there are quite a few people who are dealing with that issue. And Lynn, as it relates to student debt, I know a lot of millennials coming out of school, they're having to deal with a lot of debt, whether it's credit card debt, student debt. What type of advice do you have for those who may be wanting to get out of that type of debt?
The best path to probably a debt-free life is one that you save more, obviously. I'm also a financial advisor, so the one thing I observe when I do financial plans for younger people is that they graduate college, and some of the student loans that are structured in a way that when you graduate and you have to start paying them off, they're interest only. So if you're paying $100 a month, a lot of students don't know that they paid a minimum. They only pay $100 to interest, and the principal never goes down. And so they graduate when they're 21, 22. They end up 30, and their loan balance is virtually unchanged because they didn't realize that they're only paying interest. So for the younger people, one of the things I've encouraged is look at your loans, call the person you have the loan with, and make sure you're paying both principal, so the actual money you borrowed, and interest, so your loan balance goes down. So that's very, very important. I've seen that mistake countless times.
This question is to the millennials on the show. Did you know that's how some student loans are structured?
I have not really known much about student loans. Unfortunately, that's just something that wasn't really well known for me specifically, at least. A couple of friends of mine who could probably also attest to the fact that they're not too familiar with how the loan system actually works. Just as this gentleman was just speaking about, we're thinking you're paying these loans, which, by the way, are very high in and of itself, but not recognizing or even realizing that we're even paying specifically only on interest.
We have been discussing millennial finances and how to get rid of student loan debt. And when we come back, we will discuss business ownership, a possible solution to generating more income, right here on This Everyday Life. Real people, real life, real talk. This Everyday Life. I've been getting tired of listening to the same songs on the radio over and over again, so I took matters into my own hands and decided to do something about it. I downloaded the Tenaboy Radio app, and I've been in love ever since. Tenaboy Radio. I listen to it online, and if I'm out and about, I listen to it on my phone. Tenaboy Radio. If you're ready to experience a different sound in radio, download the app. Tenaboy Radio, or go to their website, www.tenaboyradio.com. Music the way I like it. Tenaboy Radio. Thank you for tuning in to This Everyday Life. On today's show, I have newlywed millennials, Jen and Maurice, family counselor Alicia Strayhorn, and business consultant Leonard Brecken, managing partner at Charlotte Consultant Services. During this segment, we will talk about millennials and business ownership right here on This Everyday Life. Real people, real life, real talk. This Everyday Life.
To the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. Just use your mind.
Leonard, do you think it's a good idea for millennials to start looking at owning their businesses?
I pay a lot of attention to the economy. So one of the problems the last 10 years, we have not seen any significant wage growth. So that affects mainly millennials who haven't saved yet. They don't seem to have a lot of discretionary income to save, and whether it be start a business or saving for their retirement or whatever they wherever the financial goals are. So that's the problem. So is it a good idea to start a small business or to consider it? I'm also a SCORE mentor, so I see a lot of startups come in for free advice, and I think it's a good idea. Most people continue their day jobs, so to speak, so they have an income stream, and then they formulate a business plan and a strategy for their startup business, and then eventually they transition to the business. The biggest mistake in starting a business is not knowing where you are in the economic cycle, so to speak. So when you start a business, there's risk associated with the specific business you're undertaking, and then there's risk associated with the economy. And what I mean by that, if the economy goes south or goes into recession like it did in 08, 09, you just have to be careful, obviously, to start a business, and it has to be the right type of business. I'm not saying you shouldn't start any business, but your risk that you take should be according to and where you watch or where you are in the economy. Now, the one thing I advise clients is that, you know, if you look at how long this economic cycle has lasted, I believe it's like the second longest in U.S. history. So it's pretty long in the truth. So my clients, I tend to over-scrutinize a little bit what they are doing because of that risk that may or may not happen. So if you're thinking about starting a business this late in the economic cycle, you just got to dot your I's and cross your T's more so than in any other period. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. One of the things when I work with my clients is to make sure that they really evaluate their financials, their debts, what's coming in, what's going out. Lynn, if a person is going to start a business, I think those are things that they really have to look at too, not just the business side, but the personal side as well, to see if they're even ready to start a business.
Well, absolutely. That's why I'm actually a business consultant, a business planner, and an advisor, because of that. When you run a business, a small business owner, the biggest asset he or she will have probably at his retirement is going to be the business. And also, your income stream is coming from the business. So that whatever you're doing in your business has to be in sync with your personal life. And that's a very good point. When you're thinking about starting a business, you should have, at the very least, 12 months of living expenses saved. You have to cover your living expenses, and then you got to figure out what's involved in the money necessary to start the business. That is also a big common mistake, is startup businesses don't take into account the stress that's going to be caused in their personal lives.
Those who may have just tuned in, Alicia, could you please just once again tell us what it is that you do and the families that you work with?
Okay. I'm an MST family counselor. MST stands for multi-systemic therapy. Typically, we look at five systems within a client's life. We look at the family. We look at themselves. We look at the school. We look at the community. We also look at their peers. The whole purpose is to give them skills and interventions to help balance out the home, at school, if they're having any issues in either one of these areas. We give them the tools needed to kind of help balance things out and bring structure. That's typically what I do. The clients that I see are generally within the juvenile justice system. So typically, most of my clients are involuntary, meaning they don't have a choice but to do the service. As you can imagine, some of them are not as excited to do it, but generally speaking, when we start, they see the benefit of the service. And we've had multiple successful discharges where the family has grown and they've experienced new strides in their family and structure has come in the home.
That is family counselor Alicia Strayhorn. We also have joining us today business consultant Leonard Brecken of Charlotte Consultant Services. And we have a beautiful millennial couple, Jen and Maurice. I want to thank our guest for joining us today and also to thank you, our listening audience, for taking time out of your day to join us on our show. And when we come back, we will continue with our millennials right here on This Everyday Life. Real people, real life, real talk. This Everyday Life.
Gatewood Marketing is a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on This Everyday Life. We have some special guests that are joining us today. And we are actually talking about debt. We have found that a lot of millennials are trying to figure out, how do I get rid of my debt? What do I do with my debt? What if I want to start a business? How do I start a business? We've had that conversation with millennials, and we have two guests. A consultant that's joining us, Lynn Brecken, and we also have a counselor, Ms. Alicia Strayhorn, who is joining us tonight. Now, Alicia, Lynn just talked about debt and what you might want to consider doing to get rid of debt when you're working with your families. What are ways that children start to show signs of being stressed as a result of family issues like debt, arguing over debt, stress over debt? Shed some light on that for us.
Being a counselor, my population is usually between the ages of 11 to about 17. Within this age range, you have multiple behaviors. And a lot of times, children, teenagers may not know how to express themselves. Like if they're angry, if they're mad, so they behave outwardly. And one thing that I'm finding is that when a lot of my clients are stressed out, or they may sense that money is low, or they can't get this, or the new sneaker, or whatever is out, they tend to blend in with the wrong crowd, start to act out. A lot of my clients are into some of the community activities that may not benefit their life. Some of them join in with gangs to kind of just get out of that home environment where it is stressful. Some of them perform poorly in school, where they may be very smart, but because they're dealing with so much stress, the only way they tend to deal with it is just not performing well. So they may be failing their classes, failing their grades. Some of them may express aggression, so they're disrespectful, they're not compliant in the home with the rules and chores. So depending upon the situation, they behave differently. Stress can definitely affect them, absolutely.
Family counselor Alicia Strayhorn has shared with us the impact that financial debt and stress can have on families and children. There are many millennials who would like to eradicate their debt and start their own businesses. Business consultant Leonard Brecken shares key components to business ownership and SCORE, a community resource that assists those wanting to start their own business.
First, let me say, go to score.charlotte.org. SCORE is an 80-person mentor, all-volunteer organization that basically just helps people that are looking and investigating starting a business. There's a free course that you can go to. Their first course is free, and then they have, I think, two, three, four, and five that it costs like $150. It gives a very good overview of what's involved in starting a business. The first class, as I said, is free, and I encourage, you know, people to actually take that, and I think it's given in the city in any event. In addition to that, when you're starting a business, you first start out with a concept, obviously, what you want to do. But I think the best thing to do is actually put it down on paper. So, and that's the actual creation of a business plan. So within the business plan, it defines what you want to do, why you want to do it, and how you're going to do it. It has financial assumptions in it. It has marketing assumptions in it. It has how the product is going to be sold. It basically defines the entire business. And I think by writing it down from soup to nuts, it allows you to think about it more. And I think it, whether it be your personal life or your business life, truly I think Americans don't do enough planning. I've seen so many cases where when you don't create a plan, people get hurt. A plan is there to lay out the future, so nothing is perchance or nothing comes by surprise. So when you're starting a business, you should have a plan. And here's a little piece of inspiration, okay? I grew up in a middle-class Queens family. Every day, I started working when I was 15, and I have worked every summer since then. But what inspired me to do better, to start saving, to be successful, is because I didn't have any money. I didn't want to go day to day without thinking about when my next paycheck was coming to pay, and the money was coming in as fast as it went out the door. Sometimes being successful is just persevering. And I think that's very important. You have to have the drive to do it. And if you have the drive, I think any millennial can do whatever they want.
Everything that you're saying, I absolutely agree with, and I definitely believe to a very large degree can help an individual get to a place where they're preparing to become successful. I feel as if a lot of people hit a brick wall. You were talking earlier about starting a business and having certain things in play. That being said, how do you go about that for a person who just come out of school or you have debt, whatever the case may be, especially a young couple, a married couple like my wife and I, where you're paying money for your rent, you're paying money for your phone bill, you're paying money for all of these different bills and still paying whatever the loan company is, be it, you know, FAFSA, Sally Mae, or whatever, right. Navient.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're left with no money, because I feel as if a lot of times we hear people talk about save, 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 but there is no money to save because it's always going completely out. And as you mentioned earlier, even though the debt is rising, the income is not rising to meet that. So how do you begin to even, in a practical sense, go about doing that where you can get to a point where you can, let's say, start a business or start something where you can start saving?
The same mistakes business owners make is the same mistakes individuals make. You're listing a lot of things there, expense-wise and debt-wise. Well, create a budget, okay? Create a budget. I've looked at people's expenses, and I look at it all the time, and the one thing that stands out is people spend a lot of money on little things. That's where most of their money goes. It's going to Starbucks. It's going to Panera Bread. It's, you know, grabbing something, a snack. It's $5 here, $20 here.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing, I mean, the best advice I give when people can't save is, firstly, don't have multiple credit cards. You put everything on one credit card. That way, at least you have a shot at understanding where your money's going. And then create a budget. Put it in a spreadsheet where you're spending your money. And so you can understand it. And that's basically what a financial plan is, by the way, because we create expense budgets and then we actually determine where you can cut back and save more money. But if you look at probably your expense statement, it's not the big items. It's probably the small items where your money is being consumed. And so a lot of families I recommend on those items, like let's pick a number, say anything under $50, you pay by cash, you take $50 every week, and that's all you have to spend. Okay? So you're not going to end up spending $100. The $50
right.
you or your wife have is for small items that you go out and buy, and once that $50 is spent, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you create a budget with that $50 in it, and then everything above it is not spent, and that forces you to save. Everyone
mm-hmm.
uses credit cards and bank debit cards, and they think the money's free. It's almost like an addiction. But if you have $50 to spend, and I'm just picking that number, right, for little
right.
items, then just like a little kid who has an allowance, that's your allowance. That's all you can spend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of families spend – I know my family does it. You know, I look at my American Express bill, and I tell my wife all the time, I said, it's not the big items that you spend money on. It's taking the kids out for a bite to eat after dance or, you know, whatever they're doing. You cut that out, we'll save a lot more money. The solution is creating an allowance for that so you don't go over it.
Okay.
Also, Lynn, in addition to what you were saying, if you go to church or a synagogue and you return a tithe or offering, but then you pay a percentage to yourself and it goes towards savings. And I love what Lynn said, do a budget. And,
yeah.
and Lynn, I may have to have you come back because he has given us a lot of information and I would love to have you come back. But you've got to do a budget. What's coming in and what's going out? When I sat down and did budgets with my clients, they were totally shocked as to where they were spending money. And a lot of their money was going towards eating out.
Yes. Around here, millennials spend probably 30 to 40% of their income eating out, believe it or not.
Eating out.
Wow.
Eating
wow.
out and electronics and magazine subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was younger, I went to the library and got free books. They were free. I didn't have to pay for them. And now you can go online. Businesses that you can start for under $20. Businesses that you can start for under $50. Lynn, I'm so glad you talked about having a plan or a concept.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a family and say, listen, I have this plan. I have this concept. This is what I want to do. This is how much it's going to cost me. Would you be willing to invest in me? Invest
mm-hmm.
in
right.
me. Sometimes when loved ones see that you're really trying and you have a plan, they're willing to invest in you. Lynn, I loved it. You said you need a plan.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And by the way, a lot of people don't realize the people who have made a lot of money in their career, they didn't make it in one shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a series
right.
of decisions.
Right.
Creating wealth is a series of decisions that compound over time. And it's a discipline. It's a discipline to save. It's a discipline how you invest. It's a discipline of a lot of things. But my point is that it's not just one decision.
Right.
So it's a lot of decisions that you have to make. And over time, that's how you grow wealth.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not going out and buying the soda. It's not going
right.
out to the movies. That's going to cost you $40 for popcorn and the tickets. It's
that's right.
it's just not doing that one time and taking that $40 and setting it aside to save. So that's what I mean. It's a series of decisions that you have to make.
There could be opportunities around you that you're not thinking about.
Right.
Well, you know what, Lynn? Wow, this has been awesome. Do you have any closing remarks that you would like to share with millennials when it comes to debt, starting their own businesses, and making a wonderful life for themselves? Anything else you'd like
yes,
to share with
please.
Them?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the one other mistake with debt, because I failed to say it, is if a lot of people don't realize the the ability to, if you own a home and you're paying your mortgage, a lot of people don't realize that 75% of the payments in the first 7 years is interest. So if you make one extra payment a year, it's going to go a long way to accelerate the payment of the house off. It'll cut the time to pay it off probably in half if you make an extra payment or two every year. It's going to save you a lot of money as well. A lot of people don't realize the first 7 years is interest only. 75% of the payments is interest.
Wow.
So that's the time to actually make payments early. People don't realize that. Look, these banks want to hook you on debt, and they design these products to hook you on debt. Mortgages are structured in a way to hook you. I told you a little bit about student loans as well, so just beware.
Right.
Lynn, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
So you can go to my website, which has an extensive area where I write things about self-help and things like that, but it's at charlotteconsultantservices.com, and if you want to set up an appointment, there's a way to do that if you want a consultation. Or, like I said, the free services, if you want, you can just call up SCORE, the local SCORE office in South Park, and you can set up an appointment with one of our mentors and get free advice, whatever you'd like to do.
Lynn, thank you so much for joining us on This Everyday Life, and we look forward to having you come back again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. And we want to thank Alicia. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Alicia. And I'm so hoping that you can come back, too.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. And Maurice and Jen, my dad used to tell me, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. And I'm encouraging you to do that today. And I want to thank you for joining us on this Everyday Life radio show. And I hope you will join us again next week at 7 o'clock, where we will be talking to Jen and Maurice about the good, the bad, the ugly of their love life. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us, and be sure to tune in next week right here on This Everyday Life. Real people, real life, real talk. This Everyday Life.